Well, good morning. It is an absolute honor to get to be here today. I'll tell you this, I believe I'm standing in the center of God's will. There's no place you'd rather be when you're in the center of God's will, right? It's the safest place to be. Doesn't matter if you're walking the streets of Pakistan or you're in Winnsboro, Louisiana, preaching at the church you grew up in. Man, being in the center of God's will is the best place in the world. There's more joy, more peace, more fruit of the Holy Spirit there than anywhere else. Amen? Amen? So there's no place that I'd rather be because I believe God destined me to be here today speaking to you. And it's an honor to get to be here. I do want to start with something. I want to share this with you guys. It's a principle. I have a list of principles that when God teaches me something, I put it in my notebook. I have a list of principles I go back and look at from time to time. I live by, they come out in my leadership. They come out in the way that I pastor and my relationships. And one of them is this: honor multiplies and dishonor dwindles. Whatever you honor will multiply in your life. Whatever you dishonor will dwindle in your life until it's gone. Make sense? And so, man, I want to say I'm very thankful for the soil, the culture of River of Life Church that I grew up in. I am a seed that God planted in this soil that is bearing fruit for the kingdom. And that's because of you guys, this community that sowed into me, that watered me, and then sent me out and planted me somewhere else. So I want to say thank you. I want to honor you for what you have meant to my life, my family's life, and my dad and my mom and the leaders here. Like you guys, just to give you a testimony of what's happening, there have been many, many families that have been changed. Hundreds of people born again and being discipled in Clearwater, Florida. Mighty men and women of God that have been raised up and become entrepreneurs and starting businesses, and God's blessing it, and families transformed, and people that couldn't have kids are having kids, and all of a sudden people getting off drugs and giving their life to Jesus. And that's happened over the past 6.5 years since you sent me, 5.5 years since we planted the church. And the best is yet to come. We're just getting started. We started a work 3 years ago off of a prayer that God told me to pray 8 years ago. When you pray, God moves. Amen. And started a work 3 years ago in Pakistan with a friend of mine that God connected us and confirmed that we could trust him through some other relationships, because relationships are the currency of the kingdom. Hear that. Everybody say relationships. Are the currency of the kingdom. If God wants to get something done, he does it through the connections, relational connections through his body. You're not made to be a loner, so stop saying that about yourself. It's not a kingdom thing. That's a lie that you believe from the pit of hell. Amen. So repent of that lie. Never say it about yourself again. You're not a loner. You're created to be in relationship with other people in the body of Christ. And in and through those relationships, God will begin to develop and pull out the giftings in you and the giftings in them. And when it's connected in unity, there will be a synergy that multiplies his kingdom.
That's right.
So God connected me with this guy in Pakistan supernaturally. If you get emails from guys in Pakistan, probably don't, okay? This was a supernatural thing. But we were praying one day, and he said, and I had already ministered with him a little bit, and he said, man, he told me a story about how he felt led. Him and his wife, it had been prophesied over them for years. Their names played into it, all kinds of stuff. He's like, that they were supposed to minister to this group of people, this Hindu group of people that was in Southeast Pakistan. I said, okay, well, let's pray. And we prayed. And I said, Daniel, God's going to invite you. We're going to pray. And God's going to invite you to go and minister to those people. He said, okay. So we prayed, felt the Lord. 2 weeks later, he got an invitation from a man, kind of like the Macedonian call. A man saw some of his ministry on Facebook, texted him and said, hey, reached out to him, said, would you come and preach the gospel to my family? This is an unreached people group, a people group that's on the list of unreached people groups in Pakistan. And he told me about it. I said, yeah, talked to my elders. We sowed $500 3 years and 2 months ago into Daniel to get down to this area, and him and his wife rode a train for 8 hours to go down to this area and to preach the gospel to this village of people, an unreached people group. And 300 of them over the course of 3 days gave their life to Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Now, there's a lot more details. I could spend the next 30 minutes of the message telling you the details of how that is multiplied, but God gave me a word to give to you. So I'll spare you the details for now. Maybe one day you'll get to hear them, but I will tell you this. I have got to be a part with Daniel, partnering with him, of pioneering this work in this unreached people group that over the last 3 years, now get ready for this, over the last 3 years, it's multiplied from that one man asking us to preach the gospel. I've got to go there twice and see this. It's multiplied from that one man to now 54,975 Christians being actively discipled who were unreached by the and untouched by the gospel before. 54,975 from now at least two unreached people groups, including Afghani refugees. We're in now over 1,100 villages. We've planted 101 water wells with our 102nd water well going down because a lot of the believers, when they become believers, get kicked out of their access to water supply, so we've dropped water wells for them. We've raised up over 1,100 leaders. We just sent our second missionary to another state where we just started a new work in Pakistan. In addition to having leaders trained up Afghani refugees who are being kicked out of Pakistan and going back to Afghanistan, we're, praise the Lord, we pray there's a new work in the future. Amen. Like, that's mind-boggling. Like, I preached the gospel, and we prayed for the sick back in March of this past year, and 47,000 people showed up. 22,000 gave their life to Jesus. Yes. 18,000 documented healing, deliverances in March. Guess what? Because you guys sent me, you guys play a part in every life that's been transformed.
That's right.
Like, this is your fruit.
Yes.
And I want to honor you and thank you for your prayers. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. It's just getting started. Man, God is so good and it's fun. So I will say this, like Dr. Brassfield says, I'm not going for a preaching Grammy today, okay? So I just want to share and bear my soul with you. I want to share what God has put on my heart, and if it connects with you, great. But I believe God's going to do something today in your spirit. I'm going to tell you what. We were singing a song earlier that that's the power song, you know, that's the power of your name, just to mention makes a way. And there's a line in it that says, there's a faith that stands defiant, sends Goliath to his knees. How many of you would like to grow in your faith today? A faith that stands defiant of the circumstances around the giants that are in your life and sends them to their knees. Because you're created to walk in that type of faith. Amen? As a matter of fact, if you don't walk in that type of faith, you ain't a Christian. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So without faith, you won't even come to Him. We live and move, and in Him we have our being, and as we learn what faith is and walk in faith, we grow in our faith, and He grows us to understand more of who He is and what it looks like to be His kids. We mature in faith, and we reflect His goodness, His character, and His nature. He's created us to be imitators of our Heavenly Father as dearly loved children, and that requires faith. The type of faith that is defiant to the circumstances around you looks at it and says, no, I trust His word over what I see. Today, for those of you that will have it, there will be an impartation of the gift of faith. And you will see greater faith in your life and through your life. How many of you guys would say, I want that?
Amen.
I want that. Now, not everybody. But I want to challenge you here with something. Didn't even open my computer yet. Let me open this up because I think it's in Mark 4. I want to challenge you with something. And I'll go till the time says I'm done and we'll be done. And then hopefully I'll pick up where I left off tonight and see what happens. I didn't write this scripture down, but I believe it's in Mark 4. Yeah. Mark chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 21. And he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to the light. There's a proverb where it says, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, and it's the glory of kings to search it out. Your king's in his kingdom. God conceals things not from you, but he conceals them for you. Okay? And when you understand and you become a son of God, a daughter of God, then God wants you to seek after him, right? Seek and you will find. Ask and it will be given to you. Knock and the door will be open. He wants you to go after him. He wants you to seek it out. You know, and we have Easter egg hunts around here, you know, and you hide eggs, and you don't hide them the same way for everybody. When you have the toddler, you hide it out in plain sight, and you're just hoping that they look that direction. You're hiding it for them. You're not hiding it from them. When you have an 8, 9, 10-year-old, you're hiding it a little better. You know, you got the money eggs for the 13 and 14, 15-year-old. You hide it real good. But you're not hiding it from them. You're hiding it for them. Because you want them to have excitement in the chase, and the father and the mother and the grandparents are sitting watching and sitting on the back watching their kids find it and even giving them hints because they want them to find it. They just want them to enjoy the chase. Your heavenly father's the same way. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. The glory of kings to search it out. He doesn't hide it from you. He hides it for you. He wants you to seek after him because there's joy in the chase. It's a relationship of love where God loves you and he wants you to desire and want to know him more with all you are. Not to just sit here on your hind tail and say, well, in the sweet by and by, I'll understand it all. Man, it's a lie from the enemy.
Yes.
1 Corinthians chapter 2. Y'all hold your spot there in Mark because I'm not done there. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. So a lot of people use that. Oh, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nobody can imagine, nobody can understand. And then verse 10, it says, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. You got the Holy Spirit? He's revealed these things and he wants you to search it out and get a deeper understanding of how to hear his Spirit, how to walk in his Spirit, how to know his voice day in and day out so you can grow in faith. Now back to Mark so that I can get started with this message. Mark chapter 4. Verse 23. And he said to them, this is Jesus, verse 22, nothing is hidden
except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. Verse 23, if anyone has ears to hear,
let him hear.
And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you.
This is talking about what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and more will be added. And then it says, for to the one who has, more will be given. Once again, the context is what you hear.
And the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away.
Remember my principle, what you honor is multiplied. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So as you're listening today, how are you going to measure the words that God has prepared for you today? Are you going to measure it in ounces? Ounces will be measured to your life. Are you going to measure it in pounds? Pounds will be measured to your life. You will reap the fruit of this word in pounds. Are you going to measure it in tons? Then you will reap the fruit of this word in tons in your life. A lot of people come just to come to church to check it off the box and say they did it. Well, that's not River of Life Church. You guys are passionate and seeking after the Lord. But a lot of people just come to church to sit in. And they take some notes, says, oh, that's a good word. And they forget everything they heard Monday through Saturday. Can't tell you what the preacher preached about because they weren't taking notes. They weren't measuring it as if it mattered, as if it was life for them. They weren't honoring the word, so it wasn't multiplied to them. Instead, it dwindled in their life until their life didn't produce any fruit, and they fell back instead of falling forward into the Father's arms. Be careful how you hear, for with the measure you use, how you honor it will cause it to multiply that much in your life. Amen. Those who hear these words of mine and put it into practice, they're the ones that's life's built on the rock. They measured it as if it mattered so much, I'm going to take the next step towards my God instead of in the way I was going before I heard the word. Amen? You guys good? All right. So I came today to talk to you about faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You have to have faith in order to please God. But really, I guess to understand faith, you have to understand a couple of other things. Because faith is important. I mean, shoot, it has to be important if you have to have it to please God. And I want to please my Father, right? Amen. I want to live a life that pleases my Father. But the Bible actually says there's a couple things that are, there's something that's more important than faith. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I was going to read this whole scripture, but I'm going to skip ahead so I can just get through. You know, talking about the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. It's a great chapter. And I will take this little bunny trail. One of my mentors that I learned from, he says when he sees a rabbit trail, he just shoots the rabbit so he doesn't have to go down the trail when he's speaking. Anyway, if you ever, if I'm speaking and you see me go, that means I'm not going to go down that rabbit trail. Some of you get it. All right. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. I'm just going to start here just because I hear this a lot and maybe this will help somebody. You know, when I ask people in the community, I walk around all the time and I'll hear the Holy Spirit and I'll have to believe that I heard him and obey him to go do what he told me to do. He'll tell me to go ask that person if I could pray for him or to share the gospel with him or something like that. So I'll walk up to him randomly. Hey, I just saw you and I believe Jesus loves you a lot. If I could pray for you for anything, what would it be? You know what I hear at least 50% of the time when I'm talking to Christians? Well, man, thank you for that. Would you pray for me for patience? About every time. And I just, this bunny trail I think is important. So I'm going to tell you what I tell them. I say, you know where patience comes from? Do you know where patience comes from? They'll say, No. I'll say love is patient. 1 Corinthians 13:4. What's patient?
Love.
Love is patient. So a lack of patience is a lack of
love.
Ooh. So if you're lacking patience with your kids, you're lacking love for your kids. If you're lacking patience with your husband, you're lacking love for your husband. If you're lacking patience with your wife, you're lacking love for your wife. You understand? Now, how do you grow in love? That's the question. Because you want to grow in patience. You don't focus on being patient. You focus on growing in love. And when you grow in love, then you'll have patience in that circumstance.
Amen.
So what does it look like to grow in love? Well, let me hit this verse because it's in the chapter. 1 Corinthians 13:13. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is. So I want to teach you about faith. I want to have an impartation of the gift of faith, but you have to grow in love first.
Yes.
Faith, hope, and love, the greatest is love. And I'll tell you this, they're cyclical, they're all connected, and I'm going to show you how, because this is how you grow in your relationship with Jesus. Okay? Now, in order to grow in love, you have to understand what love is. What is love? American culture says love is what I feel. I feel love for you. I fell in love with you. So I must love you because I have this emotional thing happening. I'll just tell you, that's not love. That's a product of love sometimes, a lot of times, but it's not love. What is love? Jesus actually commanded. See, you have the Greek words for love. You have phileo love. You have like eros love, the romantic love, the phileo love, like the brotherly love. But Jesus actually commanded us to love agape. He said, love each other as I have loved you. A new commandment I give to you, to love one another as I have loved you. That's agape. That's the God kind of love. It's an impossible love for us to muster up, but that's the type of love we're supposed to love with. What is that kind of love? Well, let's look at it. First, there's a verse for that. If I can't give you a verse for it, don't believe me. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. I'm having fun, guys. You guys having fun?
Yeah.
Man, I am. God's good. 1 John 3:16 says, by this we know love, that he, that's Jesus, laid his life down for us, and we ought to lay our life down for our brothers. So I'll tell you, love is sacrificing yourself for the sake of another. That's love. So what is love? Everybody say, sacrificing myself for the sake of another. That's love. God demonstrated love by sending his own son to die for us. Now, for those of you that are thinkers, you're heavy thinkers, and you're like, well, if God loved us so much, why'd he send his son Jesus? Why didn't he come and die for me? Well, I'll just tell you, just real quick, so to put that to rest, if any of you ever thought that way. My son, come here. You better not be playing on that phone, boy. He's taking notes. Look at him. Come on. I'm proud of him. Come here. Now, if one of us had to die for you, I would pick myself over him every day. You know why? Because I love him more than I love myself. That makes sense? So if one of us had to die for you, to save you, for love's sake, it would be a deeper demonstration of love for me to send him to die for you than myself. The Father loved the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Isn't that cool? Man, that hits, don't it? I love you, buddy. So love, sacrificing yourself, what's closest to you, what you treasure for the sake of another. So if love is patient, then a lack of patience is selfishness in a moment. You're not getting what you want, what you need. You're feeling out of control. Things aren't happening the way that you want them to happen. And so you're grabbing for control back in your heart. You're lacking patience, outburst or whatever, because it's selfishness. A lack of patience is selfishness, not selflessness. And love is selflessness. Make sense?
Amen.
So with my kids, if I lack patience in that moment, it was a moment of selfishness, not getting what I wanted when I wanted it. I can still discipline out of love. I can still correct out of love. But it's always for their benefit, not for mine. For my wife, if I'm not getting what I want or whatever in a moment or something like that, if I get frustrated and lack patience, it's because of selfishness. So never blame somebody else. You're just playing the victim when you blame somebody else for your lack of patience. It's not that. It's a lack of love in your own heart. So learn to sacrifice yourself deeper. Now, how do you do that? How do you learn to sacrifice yourself? How do you learn to love like God loves you? There's a verse for that. Don't believe me unless I tell you a verse. You guys follow me so far?
Yes.
You believe me so far?
Yes.
All right. Well, there's a verse for that. 1 John 4:19. Oh, man. There it is. We love why? Because he first loved us. So your capacity to love in any situation is dependent on your understanding and your receiving of his love for you in that same situation. If you lack love in any area, it's because you don't see God's love for you in that area. When you see God's love for you in that area, you can then love from that place instead of from your lack of love in that area. Because your capacity to love is dependent on your understanding of God's love for you. You understand? So, God first loved us by sending his son. He initiated. He sent Jesus. He said, I want you to walk in relationship with me. And a love relationship is back and forth. And God created you for a love relationship, not just to love you from a distance and you go on and do whatever you want. He created you to receive his love and reciprocate in love. Now, what does that look like? Because here's where faith comes from. First, God loved you by sending Jesus, revealing Jesus to you. Maybe he did that through you seeing it in someone else, or you seeing his goodness. It's the kindness of God that leads a man to repentance. You saw the kindness and the goodness, the love of God in a way that you've never seen before. And it led you to what? Faith, hope, and love. It led you to hope. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. So hope is the foundation, the basis of faith. In any area where you don't have hope, you can't have faith. Faith is the substance of things. Okay. In any area where you doubt God's love for you, you won't have hope. Because love is the greatest of all these three. So when you see his love in an area, now that sparks in you hope in his character and nature in that area. Hope is not wishful thinking like it's defined in dictionaries and stuff. Hope, biblical Christian hope, is hope in the character, nature, and goodness of God.
Amen.
So when I see his love, loving someone else or love in this situation, it sparks hope in his character and nature in that area. That makes sense. So for instance, if I see his loving someone by healing them, he can love me the same way. He can show me the same way. Now I see in scripture, he's a healer. Now I have hope that he can heal. And I have hope in that area of my life. Man, he can heal me. That's not faith. That's hope. Okay. But on the basis in the areas that I have hope, now I can have faith. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. But what does that look like? Where does it come from? I want you to grow in faith by the end of this message. Romans chapter 10, Verse 17. There's a verse for that.
You guys follow me so far?
So faith comes by and hearing through the word about Christ, or some versions say through the word of Christ. Faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. Where does faith come through? Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
Faith comes by hearing. Without hearing, you can't have faith. And without hope, you won't hear. Without receiving his love in an area or seeing his love in an area being sparked, you won't hear in that area. So you see God's love, it builds a hope in that area of your life or in life in general, in the character and nature of God. And in that area, you have the capacity to hear the voice of God. And God will speak. And now you hear, and that's the initiation, the beginning of faith. It is a gift because it's based on his word to you. You follow me? God speaks. And you hear his word. When he spoke to you, said he loved you, you heard his word, it started to build faith. Now you have to do what? You actually have to believe what he said. You can hear his word, but not believe it. How many of you know that? And then do away with it. The enemy comes and takes the seed. It's gone. It doesn't produce any fruit in your life. God gave you his word. You didn't believe it and walked away from it. It's done. God speaks to you, you hear it, and you believe it. Faith comes by hearing, requires belief, and is completed by what? Faith without works is? James 2. Faith without works is dead. Faith is completed by obedience. Faith comes by hearing, requires believing what you heard, and is completed by obedience. Without the step of obedience, it was never faith. It was just hope.
Oh, wow. Amen.
Abraham believed what he heard, and we know he believed it because he went to the promised land. And his faith was credited as righteousness. There was a step of obedience. See, a lot of people say, they feel convicted of sin. They feel like, I know I'm doing wrong. And they say, I'm sorry. Wives, when your husband says, I'm sorry, but doesn't do anything about it, how do you feel? It was just words, right? Because repentance requires fruit. The Bible talks about the fruit of repentance. With just, I'm sorry, it's not repentance. Fruit is results. When there's an internal heart, a repentant heart, there's going to be an external life change that is the fruit of repentance.
Yes.
True faith always bears fruit. Always. Because faith always finishes. True faith, there will always be fruit. Until there's fruit, it was just hope or uncompleted faith. Faith requires obedience. Faith comes by hearing, requires believing what you heard, and then requires obeying, taking the step. And that is obedience. Now watch this, watch this. It started with God's love. God's love sparked hope in you, love, hope. And that hope gave you the capacity to hear his word. You believed his word, you took a step of obedience. What's happening there? What does loving God look like? You follow me so far? What does loving God look like?
John chapter 14. Verse 15 says this, if you love me, you will obey my commands.
So God loves you by revealing himself to you. It sparks hope in you. He gives you his word in that area. You have hope out of love for you. You believe it. And then you loving, reciprocating in the relationship with God is by responding in obedience. You, by obeying what he said, you're saying, I love you back. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Now, what's next?
Watch this. It tells us right here. Verse 20, John 4, I'll just read the whole thing. If you love me, you will keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you.
That happens when you're born again. No man can see the kingdom of heaven unless you've been born again. Kingdom of heaven, what is that? I'm not talking about the sweet by and by. Romans 14, 17 says the kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So the kingdom of heaven is righteousness in the Holy Spirit, peace in the Holy Spirit, and joy in the Holy Spirit, which means the kingdom of heaven is in the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You can't see, consistently know the working of the Holy Spirit day in and day out in your life unless you've been born again. But when you've been born again, he places that Holy Spirit inside of you to lead you and guide you and teach you to walk by faith, hope, and love. And to grow you in faith, hope, and love. Make sense? Now watch this. So, just to rehash real quick, God revealed his love to us, because we love because he first loved us. It gave us hope in that area of our life. So then we can hear him. Faith comes by hearing. We believe what he said, and we obeyed. Now, that obedience is loving God back. What happens next? Watch this. Verse 18, John 14, 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You will also live. Watch this. Here it is. Here's the answer. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments, verse 21, and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So it looks like this. Faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. You're growing in your relationship with Jesus. You give your life to Christ. You take the ordinance, the obedient step of baptism, which is your next step of obedience. It's an act of faith. What happens next? He who loves me, by keeping my commands, by obeying what they've heard, what they know to do, the word that God's given them, they were obedient in their life. They're saying, I love you more than myself. I'm sacrificing myself for your sake, because obedience to the Lord is saying no to the flesh. So you're demonstrating love. You're reciprocating love for the Father by sacrificing yourself in the similar way that he sacrificed himself for you. You follow me? So what happens next? Whoever has my commands and keeps them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too, that's Jesus, will love him and manifest myself to him. So then, that step of obedience, as an example, saying, I love God too. I'm obeying you in what I know to do next. What does God do? The Father reveals his love for us by Jesus manifesting more of himself to us. Be careful how you hear. Whoever has will be given more.
Yes.
He manifests more of himself to you. Well, what does that do? It creates a deeper hope in his character and nature in that area in which Jesus has manifested himself. So now you have a greater capacity to hear his voice in that area. And then Jesus speaks to you in that area. Now you have the initial aspect of faith. Well, now, because of the testimony of what happened and the testimony of others in that same area, you believe it instead of doubting it, because you have a history of obedience. It's always going to be stretching you. It's always going to be hard, because it's without faith, it's impossible to please God. And faith requires risk. The only way you're going to bear fruit in your life is stepping out in faith. But stepping out in faith requires stepping out on a limb, because it's only on a limb the tree bears fruit. Don't think it's going to be comfortable the rest of your life. It'll never be comfortable.
Yes.
It will always require death to the flesh and a yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
You want to see supernatural fruit in your life? Get used to being uncomfortable and saying yes, Lord.
Amen.
If you ever get comfortable, you're going to get stagnant and your fruit going to dry up. So then he reveals more of himself to you. We believe what we heard and we say yes, Lord. And we step out in obedience. Well, that's completed faith. Completed faith is saying, I love you, God, because those who love me obey my commands. What does he do? Whoever obeys my commands, the Father loves him and reveals him. Jesus reveals himself to him. He reveals more of himself to him. I see more of who he is in that area of my life that God's working on. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's marriage. Maybe it's relationships. But he is conforming you into his image. So he's manifesting himself to you in whatever way is next for you to grow to look more like him that you're ready for. He's got so much more to tell you, but it's more than you can now bear because you haven't been obedient in those areas that are ready for what's next.
Oh,
but you start being obedient, guess what? He starts showing you what's next.
Amen.
And then he shows you more of who he is. It creates hope that there can be change. And then you hear his voice. And then you believe his voice. And you take a step of obedience. And he manifests more of himself to you. And it's the way that we grow in this Christian life. Faithful with a little, and he gives you more.
Yes.
See, he wants you to be faithful. What I just told you is a step of faith. Don't think you took a step of faith and you're done. He's going to require that step of faith over and over in your life until it becomes normal. When you take that normal step of faith, now you are full of faith, faithful in that area. And he will challenge you to step out in a different area over and over until it becomes normal and you become full of faith, faithful in that area too. And now you're growing to look more like Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm done.
Hallelujah. Come here. Come here. It's my boy. Yeah, I want to say that this word's deep and powerful. It didn't come with him spending an hour this week to figure out what he's going to say. This came from 20 years of study and walking in faithfulness and obedience. And he wants, I believe it's being imparted into you today as you're receiving, but I don't think you're done with it. We're going to have this on our Facebook page. We're going to take out all of the rest and just bring it down to 30 minutes of the message for you to go over it this week and next week and 2 months from now and again and listen and let it become a part of you and act on it in obedience. Praise the Lord. David, if you would close out and pray for us, I believe what he's speaking by the Holy Ghost will be supernaturally by faith imparted into your spirit, and you'll grow in it as well. You see, this walk we do is supernatural. If it's not supernatural, it's not anything.
Amen.
So how many believe in a supernatural impartation by faith into your spirit? What God has given him, he will give to you. Amen. Let's stand to our feet as you pray.
Amen. And there's a verse for that. Romans 1, it says, Paul said, I long to come to you to impart some spiritual gift for your mutual encouragement. Well, there is a gift of faith. And I believe that God's going to give you a greater measure of the gift of faith if you want to receive it. So that means a seeking from your heart. All right. So that if that's you, I want you to raise your hand as a sign of surrender to Jesus. Right. It's a sign of surrender. You're in the King's presence, the King of Kings. And say with me out loud. Say,
Holy Spirit,
you are the one who gives gifts.
I ask you to give me
a deeper manifestation of the gift of faith. Father, I thank you for these mighty men and women and children of you. Lord, I pray you bless them. Holy Spirit, I pray they sense, Lord, an impartation of the gift of faith in their life right now. And Lord God, as it happens, Lord, let them know the enemy will test it to see if they really believe it. Lord, teach them how to hear your spirit so clearly, Lord God, that they stand on what they heard and let them grow and be stretched to be full of faith and then faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.